Today's shiur is Daf Chaf Tes, and we will begin on Chaf Ches on the Beis at the Mishnah. Psilas HaBeged, a wick made out of garment, Shekiplov Lahivava, that one folded this garment, this piece of material, but he did not singe it. Rabbi Lezer says, Tamehu, it's still Mekabel Tuma, Vein Medlikim Ba. And it may not be used for Shabbos candles. The way Rashi explains it in the Mishnah, we'll spend a lot of time in the Gemara discussing it, that we're talking about a piece of material which is only Shalosh Etzbos or Shalosh Etzbos. So the Mefarshim explained that it must be talking about a linen piece of Begid, because all other pieces of material, as we learned previously, if they're only Shalosh or Shalosh Etzbos and not Mekabel Tuma, the only ones that are Mekabel Tuma and the Shalosh Etzbos or Shalosh Etzbos are wool and linen. Wool, we learned at the beginning of the Mishnah, at the beginning of the Perek, cannot be used as a wick, so we must be talking about a linen Begid. And it's three Etzbos or three Etzbos. Rabbi Lezer says it's Mekabel Tuma, and the fact that it was folded does not remove from it the shame Begid, the shame of material, and it's still Apostle, it's the Mekabel Tuma, and the reason it should not be used for Shabbos is because it was not singed, and Rabbi Lezer holds that if it was not singed, it will not light properly, and therefore should not be used for Shabbos candles. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. He holds Tahirhi, it is not Mekabel Tuma. Since it was folded, it's no longer considered a choshev piece of material, and Medlikim Ba, he holds it can be used to light for Shabbos candles, because he holds that the singeing is not required. Explains the Gemara. Bishlam Malinyan Tuma, as far as the Shail about Rabbi Mekabel Tuma, Baha Pligi, we could explain the Machloikis, Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Kiva this way. The Rabbi Lezer Sova, Kipolein Amoil. Rabbi Lezer holds that folding does not negate its status as a piece of material, and therefore, b'milsa kamaisa kaima, it stands, remains with its original status that it's Mekabel Tuma. Rekiva holds kippel moil, the folding it into a wick does have an effect, and that's why you betulei battle, its status as a piece of choshev material is now negated, and therefore it's not Mekabel Tuma. And that's the machlokes as far as Tuma. But ask the Gemara, alinyan hadlaka, as far as the suitability of this folded but not cinched piece of material to be used as a Shabbos wick, we want to understand, but my pligi, what is that machlokes? Interestingly, the Marsham uses our Gemara for a shail as far as Hilchos Tzitzis is concerned. We know that any four-cornered garment is mechuyev in tzitzis. And the question he asks is, that why don't we have to put on tzitzis on a scarf? Isn't a scarf a four-cornered garment? And he says that since a scarf is worn always in a folded status, and in our Gemara we just learned that according to Rabbi Kiva, who we will learn, the halacha is like Rabbi Kiva, folding something makes it, it does have a halachic effect. That's why since it's folded, and when it's folded, it's no longer the size of an amma, which is mechuyev b'tzitzis. That's why we don't put tzitzis on a scarf. Says the Gemara, the machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Lezer as far as Shabbos candles is as follows. Amar Rabbi Lezer, Amar Rabbi Yishia. Ken Amar Rabbi Adabar Hava, Hocha b'sholosh al sholosh mitzumtzom s'skinen. We're talking about a piece of material which is exactly three etzbos by three etzbos. U'b'yontav shechalias erev Shabbos s'skinen. And we're also talking about Yontif, which was on Friday. So since it's exactly three etzbos by three etzbos, it's considered a keli, as we've explained. And the Gemara will continue. In explaining a machlokes we have between Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon as far as Hilchos Muksa. So as we've explained many times, everybody agrees there is a concept of Muksa on Yontif and Shabbos. The question is a question of application, of a broad application or a narrower application. Rabbi Yehuda has a broader application, and he includes in Yontif a muks which is called Noilad. Noilad means where you had something before Yontif, and then on Yontif it was created into a new status, which wasn't here before Yontif. Yehuda considers that muksa. What is his reasoning? He says muksa means that on Yontif I'm only allowed to use something that I had in mind that I would use, that I have. Noila by definition means something which is new. I didn't have in mind to use that on Yontif. It didn't exist in the world before Yontif. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds such a thing will be considered muksa because it's noila. And now the Gemara holds the kulama is later Rabbi Yehuda. Everybody will agree with Rabbi Yehuda's psak. Dama masik mekalim. Somebody can use for fuel for a fire a utensil. Why? Because the utensil is here from before Yontif, and it's certainly not muksa. A person had every mind, every intention to use it. However, if a utensil broke on Yontif, I may not use it on Yontif because that utensil became into creation on Yontif and it's noilat. Furthermore, the Gemara says, everybody will agree with the Kulam Islay Ula. Everybody will agree with Ula's Psak. Dom Ula, Hamadlik Tzorch Shiadlik Buroiv Hayotse. Somebody who lights Shabbos candles has to light the majority of the portion of the wick that protrudes from the oil. Where do we know this from? We know this from the menorah, because it says by the menorah, "B'haloischas aneiros," and we learned the Gemara, "Achitei shel heves oil meleah." The fire has to go off from itself, so you have to keep your hand by the wick until the fire is completely independent. Now the Gemara, you, after explaining these two introductions, explains the machlokes of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Elazar saw the kippel and a mile. Rabbi Elazar holds the folding the wick from folding the spaghet, this piece of garment from before Yontif, is meaningless. So the kivin the adlik by perta, when I lit a bit of the wick, havelei shavakeli, I now broke that piece of material. It became a shavikeli. It became noilat. V'kikamadlik b'shavikeli. As I keep my hand by the wick, because as we just learned from Ula, I have to keep my hand on that wick until most of the wick is burning. Kamadlik b'shavikeli kamadlik. I'm touching a shavikeli. I'm touching something which is muksa, which is obviously also an yontif. Rav Akiva sava. Rav Akiva holds kippa moyo. That folding the beged, folding the piece of material already took away the status of a garment from before Yontif. So Ein Taras Kliya Lav. It anyway didn't have the name of a keli, this piece of garment, because I already folded it before Yontif. And like Rashi explains, I must have folded it before Yontif, because on Yontif I'm not allowed to make a wick, which is the halacha on Yontif, you're not allowed to make a wick. So therefore, V'ki kamadlik, when I'm lighting it, be'et ba'amu kamadlik, I'm lighting a piece of wood which is already in that status from before Yontif. And that's why I'm allowed to use it, and there is no problem of noilat. Ask the Rashba, that if according to Rabbi Elazar, there's a problem of noilat, there's a problem of muksa, and the problem here is because I'm touching it when it's already muksa, even if I'm not going to touch it when it's already muksa, it should be asur. Because I'm having hano, I'm having benefit from the light which is coming from muksa, so it should be asur anyway. Says the Rashba, that from here we see that it's mutter to benefit from muksa. You're not allowed to move muksa, you're not allowed to use muksa, we'll see a shayla if you're allowed to touch muksa, but you're certainly allowed to benefit from muksa. I'm Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef, after hearing this explanation, says, "Hayna Tanina, I understand now a brisa. There's a brisa that says Sholosh al Sholosh Mitzumtzumis, that there is a Mishnah in Shas that speaks about a situation of three etzbos or three etzbos. V'lo yadana l'may hilchasa, I did not know regarding what Mishnah that brisa was referring. However, now I understand. Let's talk about our Mishnah, because we explained that our Mishnah is talking about a case where it's exactly three etzbos with three etzbos." Says the Gemara, "Umida kamatarat of Ad Bar Hava leave Rabbi Yehuda." Since we see Rabbi Ad Bar Hava explained our Mishnah using Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, Shema minak Rabbi Yehuda's filei. It must be the Rav Ada agrees with Rabbi Yehuda's psak. Ask the Gemara, or me, Omer Rav Ada bar Hachi, does Rav Ada bar Hava passing like Rabbi Yehuda? For Omer Rav Ada bar Hava, Nochri Shechaka Kav. But because Yisrael, if a guy carved out a kav, which is a certain measure, from the log of a Jew on Yontif, is the halacha masika b'yontif. The Jew can use the carved out carvings, the pieces of wood that he carved out, for fire on Yontif. V'may, but the question is, noilad who? Why isn't this considered a case of noilad? Since it was created on Yontif. And if Rehuda holds that anything that was created on Yontif is noilad as muksa, answers the Gemara, Rav Adbar Hava taka doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. When he explained our Mishnah, he was explaining it with the Reim de Rav Elezer of Akiva Kamalei, according to the way Rav Elezer of Akiva, who do agree with Rabbi Yehuda, would explain the Mishnah. However, Velele Sfirele, he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda. And the first mask, why do we have to have Rav Adbar Hava, when he wants to say that he doesn't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, say a case of Nochri Shechokah B'Kav B'Kas Yisrael? He should have said a simple case. He should have said, simply, he should have said, I paskin like Rabbi Shimon, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. So Farshim answer, that from here we see how far Rav Adbar Hava paskin like Rabbi Shimon. That even though the guy did here a full-fledged malacha, carving a piece of wood is a full-fledged malacha, which if a Jew did it, there would be a chiv chattis, and there would certainly be an isser to have a nah from any use of something that was done that way on Yontif. Still, since the guy did it, and he, so there was no malacha, and he doesn't subscribe to noilad, that's why it's mutter. The other question is, why do we have to have Rav Elezer and Akiva arguing the way we explained it? Why can't we say that the Machloikas Rav Elezer of Yehuda is, do they agree with Rav Yehuda? Or why can't we say that the Machloikas Rav Elezer of Yehuda is if they agree with Ula? So Mefarshim say, the Ritva says, that since the Halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and the Halacha is like Ula, we wanted that everybody should be explaining their Shita according to the way the Halacha is. And the Raya, that it's that way, because why did the Mishnah have to speak about a case that it was folded before Yontif? Why can't it be talking about a case that was folded in Yontif? Because it would be folded in Yontif, Rabbi Kiva would agree with Rabbi Yehuda that it would be prohibited, because it would be noilat. Rav Amar, Rav says, Hainatam de Rabbi Lezer, this is the reason for Rabbi Lezer, you're not allowed to use for Shabbos candles a wick that was not charred previously. No, you're allowed to use rags that were not charred previously. Taisu says that psilish enem chareches, if you're not allowed to use, you're certainly not allowed to use rags which are even more difficult to light than psilish. It's interesting. Taisus, the top Taisus in this Amid, says that the minig that many people have, that they singe the wick before Shabbos, b'chinam nagu, there's no reason to do it, because the only one that holds that you should do it is Rebbe Lezer. And we know Rebbe Lezer was from the Talmidim of Beis Shammai, and we don't paskin like him. So Taisha says we don't have to singe the candles before Shabbos. We know that many people do have the minig of doing it before, of singeing the candles before Shabbos. The Tar and the Ramah bring it down, that it's the right thing to do. And the interesting question that the Be'er Sheva asks is, if Taisha says that it's on, that you don't have to do it, why do we do it? We're doing a chumra that we don't have to do. So the Shem Tzion Balochi answers that when is there an issue to do a chumra, to do something where Chazal say you don't have to do it, is when you're doing it because you feel the halacha is that way. And the halacha is not that way, so don't do it. We that do it is only because it's easier for us to be able to light the candle. That's fine. Elohadatan Rabbi Yosef, but if that's the explanation of our Mishnah, ask the Gemara. We learned the Brice that we said before, the Shalosh Shalosh Mitzum Tzomis, that there's a Mishnah that's talking strictly about a case of a piece of material. That's 3 and 3 etzbos. Exactly. The Ma'ihilchos. So regarding what Mishnah was that Brice said, says the Gemara, talking about Linyan Tumah. It's talking, we saw regarding Kabbalah's Tumah. The Tanah, we learned, as we spoke about earlier, Shalosh Shalosh Amru, that by wool and linen, even if the piece of material is shalosh shalosh etzbaot, it's mekabel tumah. Says the Mishnah, chutz min amal. We don't include the hem, because what is a small piece of material like that used for? It's used for a patch. And when people make a patch, they'll also make a hem that the patch shouldn't unravel. Divrei Reb Shimon. V'chamayimrim, shalosh shalosh mechavonis, a piece of material of linen or wool, even if it's three etzbos, it's three etzbos without the area for the hem, is already considered mekabel tumah. And we don't worry that it'll unravel. Amar Yehuda Merav, Masik Mekalim, we can use for a fire whole utensils on Yontif. They Masik Meshiver Kalim. We can't use something that broke on Yontif, because we explained it's Noilet. Divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Shimon Matar, Rav Shimon says, there's no problem of Noilet. Before we go further, we should mention that the Mefarshim ask that how can you, Rav Yehuda says you're allowed to use a keli for fuel on Yontif. Why isn't there no problem of Saiser, of destroying the keli? So there are a number of answers given to this. First of all, some Rishonim want to say, from here we see that ain binyan b'stira b'kelim, that there is no inyan, there is no point of breaking or creating or destroying kelim. That would not be an asur. Others want to say that the heter here is because of simchas yontif. Others say, since he's not actually breaking the keli, it's only through a grum, by throwing it to the fire, and it will, then the keli will be broken, that's not called stira. Davni Neza says that when is stira asa? When it's stira amanas livnas, when you break something with the intent to build something. Here, there's no intent to build, and that's why it's not considered stira. The Mishnah Berurah mentions, why is there no problem about tashas here? He says, we're talking in a situation where the person has nothing else that he can use for fuel, and when there's no other thing else that can be used for fuel, there's no problem of about the tashas. Continues the Gemara. Another two cases where Yehuda and Shimon disagree. Masikim b'tamarim. Somebody could fuel a fire with dates in Yontif. Avalei masikim b'garinayim, you cannot use the pits. Because the pits, he considers noilet. When they got uncovered, when the pit became revealed, that's noilet. Divrei Reb Yehuda. Reb Shimon matar. Reb Shimon holds its mutter. Masikim b'agoizim. Somebody can fuel a fire with nuts in Yontif. Ochlon, but if somebody ate the nuts. You can't use the shells for fuel. Dear Rabbi Yehuda, because Rabbi Yehuda again holds that the shells that are now available are noilet. Because before the Rishonim explained, we had a whole shell, and now we have a new entity which is called a broken shell, which is something new and would be noilet. Rav Shimon matter. Rav Shimon again doesn't hold of noilet. Ask the Gemara, why do we have to have the same machloikis three times? We had to have the same machlokes all three times. The Ashminin Kamais, if I only had the first case where we have a broken utensil, I would say, but he come Rabbi Yehuda. That's Rabbi Yehuda is machmer. Mishum the kara keli, at the beginning it was a full-fledged utensil. Vahash the keli, and now it's a broken utensil. Vahavle noilet, and that's why it's noilet, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda holds its osur. Avl garinin. But in the case of the pits, the Megharu Garinin, at the beginning it was a pit. Fahash the Garinin, now too it's a pit. Ein Meshapi Dami. Maybe I would say that Rabbi Yehuda will agree that no transformation took place and should not be Noilad. That's why he said even in this case it's Noilad. Yashmin Garinin, if I had the case of the pits, Havmin the Mekar Mechassian, at the beginning the pits were not visible. Fahash the Megalian, and now they're visible. Ava Klipi Egoizin. In the case of the shells of the nut. The Mikar Miglu. At the beginning they were visible. Vahash the Miglu. And now they're also visible. Ema Shapadami, I would say that that's not a case of Noilad. Tzricha, that's what he has to tell us. And what's the reason? Like Tosfos explains, because before they were attached to the nut and they were part of the fruit, and now they're a new case. Ask the Rishonim, why do I need to have the case of the pits? If I have the case of the broken keli, and which Rabbi Yehuda is machmer, and I have the case of the nuts, which is a big chiddush that he says noilad. Why do I need the case of the pits? So one teretz they give is because since we're going to see that the case where Rabbi Yehuda taught his din, the next gemara was by a case of garinin, that's why it's mentioned. Another pshat that Tosfos says is that even though the gemara here says that nuts is a less of a chiddush, is a bigger chiddush that it's noilad than the case of gerinin, an argument could be made the other way. It could be said that there's a bigger chiddush by tamarim than by egoizim, because by egoizim the nutshells are broken. Previously they were whole and now they're broken. However, the pits were whole from before and a whole now. Maybe since they're in the same status that they're whole the whole time, it should not be noilad. That's why we have to have both the case of pits and the case of nuts. The hod rav, this the rav paskind by pits that there's issue of noilad, says the Gemara, la beferish etma, wasn't said explicitly by lav, el mechlol etma, was learned by inference. The rav ochel tamri, rav was once eating dates, v'shod kashay silabuchya, and he threw the pits into the oven for fuel. Omle Rav Chiya, Rav Chiya told him, Bapechsi, son of Choshva people, Kenegdoi b'yontav osur. Doing such an action in yontav would be osur, because we're passing like Rav Yehuda, that noilad is osur. Now, Kivlmenei or like Kivlmenei, the question was Rav agreeable to what Rav Chiya said, that would be osur, or didn't he agree? Toshma, Tichos Rav Lubavl, Rav came to Bavel, Ochel Tamri, he was once on Yontib, and he was eating dates. Veshor Kashayis L'chayusa, and he threw the pits to the animals. Mailav, aren't we discussing a case of Parasayisa, Persian dates, which are very high quality dates, where the pit and the fruit totally separate. And the pit is totally separate from the fruit, and he's still touching the pits. So we see that he doesn't agree with the concept of noilad, otherwise how could he throw those pits to the animals? It must be like Kibla. Says the Gemara, Loi. It was talking about Amaisa, Armenian dates, which are poor quality dates, and the part of the fruit remains attached to the pit. And Hoyal B'chazeg Av Amaisa, since you have some fruit, the Amaisa is the mother, the fruit that's still on the pit, that's why he was able to touch it. But could be, if it would have been totally separate, he wouldn't have touched it. Omle Rav Shmuel Bar Chana Rav Yosef. Le Rav Yehuda the Omer. According to Rav Yehuda that says, Masik Mekalim, Ve Masik Meshire Kalim. That we only can use for fuel on Yontav a full fledged Kali, but not a broken Kali. Kivin that Ligve Parta, the question is, as soon as part of it gets burnt, Havle Shire Kalim. It'll be a Shire Kalim, it'll be a broken utensil. Become a Hapech, and when he turns over the fire, and as the Mefarshim explained, it's impossible to have a fire on Yontav without turning over. He's touching something which is Asr. And because of Muksa, how could he do that? And again, the Raja points out, like we said earlier, that the whole problem here is that they're turning over the Muksa. But the Gemara is not bothered by the fact that I'll have Hanor from the Muksa, because as the Raja says, you're allowed to have Hanor from Muksa. Answers the Gemara, the Ovid Kramasna. What he does is, as Ramasna explained in a similar situation, Dar Ramasna Omarav, Eitzim Shinoshna Ma'adekal Latanav Yontav, if branches fell from a palm tree into an oven on Yontav, and those branches are obviously Muktza, is the Aloch Marba Eitzim Muchanim, somebody could add onto them other wood that was prepared before Yontiv, which is Nam Mukso Masikon. So here too, you'll have this Keli that got broken, but you'll have other wood in here, which is Nam Mukso, and that's how you could turn the fire. Ask the Rishonim, how could you add good wood on top of the bad wood to be able to use the wood? We have a concept of Eim Evatlum Is L'chatchila, that a person is not L'chatchila allowed to take a situation which is Osir and turn it into a Heter by using Bittel. So the answer that we're speaking in a case where there was already good wood in here. So when the bad wood fell in, it got mixed up together with the good wood. So we have, it's not obvious that I'm being Mevatel Isser. In such case, you're allowed to be Mevatel Isser. And that's why it would also not be a problem of Dovah Sheish Lamatirin, that we're dealing with a situation of why should I use this wood after Yontav, I won't have any Shilas. Again, because it's not obvious that I'm doing the Bittel. Other Rishonim, the Riaz, want to say that there's no problem on Mevatel Isser L'chatchil, because here we're dealing with a Rabbanan Digger situation, and in the Rabbanan Digger situation, there is no Bittel, which is really difficult to understand, because we do know that even by poultry and milk, which is the Rabbanan, there is an Isra Bittul Isra. So the Mefarshim wanted to differentiate between a Drabbanan, which is a new Drabbanan, just a new Gzeira, which is like Noilad, versus a Drabbanan, which is a Gzeira, because we want to protect something which is Midaraisa, that we acid Basa Oif B'Cholov, because of real meat with Cholov. Rav Hamnunas has a different explanation in the Mechlekes of Rilezer and Bekivin HaMishnah. We're talking about a piece of material that's less than 3 tefachim by 3 tefachim, but it's larger, but it's larger than 3 etzpas by 3 etzpas. And what we're learning here is the law of Kabbalah's tumah for rags, which somebody designated for insignificant use. And the Gemara will explain itself. As Reb Lezer l'tamei, Reb Lezer goes according to his shita, Reb Kiva l'tamei, Reb Kiva according to his shita. The Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah. Pachs mishloisha al shloisha. If you have a piece of material that's less than 3 tefachim, but it has to be bigger than 3 etzpos, because if it's less than 3 etzpos, it's totally useless. If it's bigger than 3 tefachim, then 3 tefachim, it has a chshivas. Here it's right in between. And first, you put it into the garbage. And now, hiskinu l'fakipas merchatz. You want to use it as a plug, the pipes of the drain of the bathhouse, or l'nabas ekteira, or to pour out the contents of a hot pot, or l'kanach bas rechaim, or to wipe, clean the millstone. Bein min amuchan, whether it's from an area which is prepared for use, or bein she'en min amuchan, or area which is not prepared for use, again, we will explain this, tamei. The rag now becomes is mekabel tumah, because the act of designating the rag for these uses shows that it's still considered by you a significant garment, and the fact that originally you turned into a rag that you wanted in the garbage is no longer relevant. Divrei Reb Elezer. Reb Yeshua Omer, bein min amuchan, whether you took it from an area where it's prepared for use, or whether you took it from an area where it's unprepared, tar, the rag is tar. Rav Kiva makes the following differentiation. Min amuchan, if you took it from an area where it's designated for use, tamei, it'll be mekabel tumah. But if you took it from an area where it's not designated, it'll be tar. Now Ula explains the machlokes. Hakel moedim, everybody agrees. All three tanoim, Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva. Zork ba'ashpa. If you take this piece of material, which is between 3 etzpos and 3 tefachim, and you threw it into garbage, the rehakel tar, it's not makabel tumah. Because by throwing it to the garbage, it's showing that it's not choshev to you, and it's not makabel tumah. Hinich b'kofsa, if you put it into a chest, even after you designate it for insignificant use, divrei hakel tamei, it's mekabel tumah. Because by putting it into a chest, you show that it's choshev. Nechleku el shetal b'magid. The only disagree in a case where somebody hung the rag up on a peg, or shenichai churetelos, or he put it behind the door. Now it's important to say, from these two actions, hanging the rag on a peg is stronger evidence of it still being choshev than putting it behind the door. Rabbi Lezer holds midaloy zork b'ashpa. Since it's not in the garbage, da'at alavei, his mind is evidently on it. It has a chshivas to him, and it's still mekabel tumah. Ask the Gemara the terminology. Why my karlo shleim and amuchin? So if Rabbi Lezer considers these acts evidence that this is chashiv to him, why did he say that it's considered shleim and amuchin and it's not prepared? Answers the Gemara, Delgava Kufsa, if you compare putting it on a peg or putting it on behind the door to putting it into a chest, Laman Muchim, it's not considered prepared. But even though it's not prepared in relative to that, it's still considered choshev enough for Rabbi Lezer that it should be Makabal Tumah. Rabbi Yeshua Sava, Rabbi Yeshua holds the other extreme. Midalay Nichba Kufsa, since it wasn't put into a chest, Betuli Batle, that means he intends that it should not be choshev, it's not mekabel tumah. So why do you call it my karlim min amuchad? If why is it considered mincha when it's put on the peg or behind the door? Answers the Gemara, l'gabim ashba, relative to the garbage, muchan hu, it's considered prepared, but still not prepared enough according to Rabbi Yeshua that it should be mekabel tumah. Rabbi Kiva, b'tal b'magid, when it's hanging on the peg, savik Rabbi Lezer, that it's choshev and it'll be mekabel tumah. But when he put it behind the door, there I'll hold it to be sure that it's not choshev and it's not mekabel tumah. However, says Rav Hamnuna, v'hadavir Rav Akiva l'gavid Rav Yeshua. At the end, Rav Akiva totally agrees Rav Yeshua. Memai, how do I know this? Amar Rava. The raya is our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah of Midrash Tanim Psilas Habeget. The Mishnah used the terminology of a wick Psilas Habeget, a wick made of garment. Now the language is a difficult terminology. My iri the Tanim Psilas Habeget. Why do we use a language saying a wick made of garment? Listening, what it should have really said was Psilas Shabeget, a wick made from garment material. Because as the Mefarshim explained, nobody's going to use a whole garment to make a wick. You won't be able, number one, nobody's going to waste a garment on that. Number two, you could never make a wick, a small wick out of a whole garment. My psilas a beged. What does the Mishnah mean when it says a wick made of a beged? The dying beged who? That it's still a garment. Why is it still a garment? Because it was hung up on a peg. And still, Rabbi Kiva holds that it's not mekabel tumah. Obviously, he agrees with Rabbi Yeshua that unless you put it into a chest, it's not mekabel tumah. And the Mefarshim explain, because since we see Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer, and we know Rabbi Eliezer doesn't differentiate between a peg and behind the door, and Rabbi Kiva just in our Mishnah totally disagrees with him, it must be, because Rabbi Kiva agrees now with Rabbi Yeshua. Continues the Mishnah. Layikav Adam Shifer Shabaya, a person should not make a hole in an eggshell, v'yimlenu shemen, and fill the shell with oil, v'yitnenu apianer, and then put this eggshell on top of a lamp, shetemina tefes, that the oil which is in the eggshell will drip through the hole on the bottom of the eggshell into the lamp. Now, we have to understand why is this asr. The Rambam explains that the reason that this is asr is because muksa. Since this oil is designated for a candle, we're concerned Shem Yistapik Mimenu, he may take some of the oil, and that oil, being that it was muksa for the candle, is asr to be taken. The other Rishonim learn that the issue here is mechaba. Tosfos explains, we had this Tosfos once already, that the issue of mechaba here is that if you take oil out of a burning lamp, you make the fire dimmer, and therefore you're over mechaba. You transgress the avera mechaba. The problem with understanding Tosfos is that's when you take the oil out of the actual lamp. Here we're not taking the oil out of the lamp. We're taking the oil out of the egg, which is dripping oil into the lamp. Why would Tosfos say it's mechaba? So it's a very difficult question on Tosfos, and the Mefarshim want to say that we're concerned he's going to take all of the oil out of the eggshell. By taking all of the oil out of the eggshell, you will automatically do mechaba on the spot because there won't be any fuel left for this fire. The Rosh learns that the reason you're not allowed to take oil out of a lamp is because you will make the lamp burn for less time. And that, he says, is not considered gram kibui. That's considered actual kibui. Because since the oil is the actual fire, taking the oil out and making the fire therefore burn for less time is considered kibui. Here too, since the egg, the fuel, the oil in the egg is the source of fuel for this lamp, by taking the oil out, that is actually touching the fire, affecting the fire according to Rosh, and that will be considered kibui. It's interesting, Rabbi Chanan Wasserman says that that's really what Rashi is trying to say in our Mishnah. Because when you look into Rashi, Rashi says like this, V'tam shum gzeira, shem yistapik minenu, v'kima shiktseu liner. So Rashi uses the language of muksa, chayim shum mechaba. And then he says mechaba. So what is Rashi saying? Is it muksa or is it mechaba? Says Rabbi Chanan like this, once you designated the oil in the egg for this lamp, that makes it the fire itself. Because like Rosh says, the oil is the fire. How does the oil become the fire? By being maxed for the fire. By being maxed for the fire becomes the oil, and by taking it out, we will transgress kibbud. The Mefarshim explain what will be the nafkamina la'alacha between the Rosh and Tosfos that learn that we're talking about kibbud and the Rambam that says we're talking about muktzah. The question will be, can you set up a Chanukah menorah in this fashion? Because we learned that you have to put enough oil into the Chanukah menorah to burn for half an hour. So let's say you don't have enough oil in the lamp itself, but you have this contraption with the oil dripping in. The Rambam doesn't consider it part of the candle. It's only muktzah. So you don't have enough oil. You have to have oil for half an hour. But according to Tosfos and Rosh, that this is considered actually part of the fire, so you put in enough oil, even though the oil is not actually in the lamp itself. Continues the Mishnah, Vafil Shalcheres, even if this reservoir of oil, this egg, is made out of earthenware, which gets dirty, and people will not touch it, still you know how to do that on Yontif. Rabbi Yehuda says it's permitted. Avam chibra yotz metchilo, but if when this contraption was created, it was created with the top, the egg part, and the lamp part on the bottom connected, mutter. And the Mefarshim point out, what's the lashon metchilo? That has to be totally, completely connected from before Yontif and Shabbos. Because then it becomes one keli, and there is no concern that person will take oil from the candle. Because, as the Rishonim explained, the only concern we have is that people are going to take from the reservoir. From actual candle, people know that they're not allowed to touch on Shabbos Yontif. Now the Mishnah talks about a different case. A person should not fill up a bowl with oil, and put it next to a lamp, and put one side of the wick in the lamp and the other side in the bowl, like that the wick will draw the oil, because we're concerned that you may take the oil from the bowl. Rabbi Yehuda matter, Rabbi Yehuda said it's permitted. Says the Gemara, so we have three cases in the Mishnah. One case was of regular egg, another case was when it was the egg was made out of cheres, and the third case was with the bowl. And we need all three cases, but tzricha. If we only had the case of the eggshell reservoir, that's with Rabbanan Amachmer, the Kim Dlemisa. Since it's not moss, we're worried somebody's going to supply himself with the oil from it. When we're dealing with a earthenware reservoir, the Meisa, which is moss, maybe the Rabbanan Moiter, that it's mutter, Kamashman, the Rabbanan are not Moiter. If I only had the case of earthenware, I would say that's where Rabbi Yehuda is lenient. But he with an eggshell reservoir, maybe he agrees to Rabbanan, so we say no, he always is Meikel. If I only had the first two cases of the Mishnah, I would say that's where Rabbi Yehuda is Meikel. Because there's nothing intervening between the reservoir and the lamp. But in the case of the bowl and the lamp, the mifska, which is the area of space between these two entities, Eimim Moedel Rabbanan, that maybe he'll be Moedel Rabbanan, you're not allowed to do it. Kamash Milan. V'yashmin Bahi, if I only had the case of the bowl, I would say Bahi Kam Rabbanan, that's Suda Rabbanan and Machmer. Abba Hanitati, in the first two cases, Eimim Moedel Rabbi Yehuda, maybe they agree with Rabbi Yehuda. That's why Tzricha, we needed all three cases. But the Mishnah said, if we had it connected from the beginning, mutter it's permitted. Tana, we learned in a brisa, if on Erev Shabbos the person who owns this lamp connected it with plaster or clay, mutter it's mutter. Even though he's not a professional. Ask the Gemara Nan Yoitz Tanan. We learned in the Mishnah that should be attached by a professional. Answers the Gemara, my yoitzer, what does yoitzer mean in the Mishnah? Ke'en yoitzer. It has to be like the skilled worker, like we explained, it has to be done permanently. But it doesn't necessarily have to be done by a professional. Tanya. Says the Gemara, Bryce. Amar Yehuda, Pamachas Shabbosein Balias Beis Nitzah Belud. One time, we spent Shabbos in the upper room of Nitzah's house in Lud. V'vilanu Shofar Shabbaya, and they brought us this eggshell, umalanu shemen, we filled it up with oil, v'nikvanau, and we made a hole, v'nechnu al pi aner, and we let it on top of the lamp to drip in. V'hayu shem Rav Tafran Zakenim, Rav Tafran and other Zakenim were there, v'lo yamar lanu davar, they didn't tell us any objection. So we see that we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Misham Raya, you want to bring proof from there? Shani Beis Nitzah, there's reasoning. The people of Beis Nitzah are reason, are meticulous, and that's why we're not worried. And all the Mefarshim ask, where do we find, by an Isser, that there's a difference if the people, what the level of observance are of the people? They want to say the reason that they were makers, because since there was a group of people, and we learned earlier in this Masechta many times, when there's a group of people, one reminds the other, that's why it was mutter. Aven Tzipurus Agaras of Slos of Ilos of the Shisha. Aven of Tzipura dragged a bench on a marble paved floor on Shabbos. Le'elam Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar, in front of Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar. Now, the issue of dragging something on Shabbos is a machlokes of Shimon ben Yehuda. Because you know, you're not allowed to make a furrow, you're not allowed to make a hole on Shabbos. It's chayrish, it's considered plowing. Now, we have a machlokes of Yehuda and of Shimon called Dovash and Miskaven. If you do something but you do not intend to do it, is it Osir or Mutter? Yehuda says it's Osir, and that's why he says you're never allowed to drag anything on the floor, even if it was not your intention to make a hole. Rav Shimon says it's mutter. Here, he allowed it to be done even on the marble floor. Amalei, so he told him, Ish tuikilach, if I remain silent, kidishtikulei chavrai Rabbi Yehuda, as the colleagues were silent by Rabbi Yehuda, nafik mnei churba, terrible destruction come here. Gzeira alisa de shisha, people will see that if you're allowed to drag on a marble floor, they'll make ato alisa damba, they'll think you're allowed to drag on any floor. That's why I am telling you not to do it. Taisa says, however, in a place where all floors are not made out of earth, like where we live, you are allowed to drag, because nobody will make a mistake that you're allowed to drag on earth, because we don't have earthen floors. So the Gemara talks a little about this issue of dragging on Shabbos. Resh Knishta de Batzra, the Shamus of the Shul in Batzra, Goras of Sela, dragged the bench, L'Elam Rav Yirmiyah Rabba, in front of Rav Yirmiyah Rabba, Amalei. So Rav Yirmiyah told him, come on, according to who are you doing this? Rav Shimon. That Rav Shimon says, you're allowed to drag because you're not intending to make a hole. So he said to him, Eim Adam Rav Shimon Begdoilam, where was Rav Shimon lenient by large objects, where you have no other choice but to schlep it? The Layefshir, you have no other option. Bektanim, when you have a small object, mi amr, was he makel? Why would you want to drag something if you don't have to? Or pliga de ula, but Rabbi Yirmiyah psak, and his understanding of Rav Shimon is in disagreement with what ula said. Dama ula, machloikis bektanim. Machloikis of Yehuda and Rav Shimon is strictly by small objects. Rav Yehuda says, don't schlep him because you're making a hole. And Rav Shimon says, you can because you're not intending to make a hole. Av begdoilim, divrakel mutter. By big objects where it's not for sure that you're going to make a hole, and you have no other option how to transport it, according to Ula, you would be allowed to schlep. Rav Yehuda will agree you're allowed to schlep it. Moser of Shimon, Rav Yosef asks from the following Braisa. It says in the Braisa of Shimon Adam, Gar Adam Mita Kesu Vasafsal. A person could drag a bed, share a bench, across the ground in Shabbos, or Vachalei Iskam Lassus Chiritz, as long as he doesn't intend to make a hole. Ketani Gedoilim, Rav Shimon's talking about large objects, a bed, and he's also Ketani Ketanim, small objects, a chair. So it's Kashal Tavayu, it's Kashal Bolton, and Bolton Rav Yirmiyah and Ula, because Rav Yirmiyah, according to Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Shimon will agree you're not allowed to schlep a small thing. And according to Ula, also it's difficult, because according to Ula, Ula says that everybody says it's mutter, and here it's only Rav Shimon that says a big thing is mutter. Says the Gemara, Ula Mataras Tamei, Ula will explain according to his, Rav Yirmiyah Mataras Tamei. Ula Mataras Tamei, the bed we're talking about here is talking about a chair. We're talking about a small bed. But a big bed, we're takabiyasa. Here we're talking about a chair which is like a bed, a big chair. But a small chair, we're takabiyasa according to everybody. Masav Rava, so Rava asked the following question. It says, a Bryce, a Mishnah. We spoke that you're not allowed to wear shatness. So it says, Marchik Sus, people who are salesmen of garments, and they used to wear the garments they were selling to model them. Marchim Kedarikim, could sell in the normal way, even though the beged may be shatnes. Of actually, as long as he doesn't intend in the summer to protect himself from the sun, in the winter from the rain. But snuim, people who were from mafshil makalachrim, they're not put on the beged. They used to hang these shatnes garments on a stick behind them. Now, here is a situation. It's possible to act like the tsnuin, and we're saying that wherever it's possible to act like the tsnuin, wherever it's possible not to come into a shayla, even Rav Shimon will agree that it's mutter. So it's kiktanim dami. It's like the small benches. Still, since he doesn't intend to have hanah from it, we see Shar Rav Shimon l'chatchila. Rav Shimon said it's permitted to do. This is tiyufta d'Rabbi Mirabba. This is against what Rabbi Mirabba said, who said that Rav Shimon will be machmer where you have an option not to do it. Says the Gemara tiyufta. So Tosfos explains that we're talking in a case where the person who's wearing this wasn't a psik reisha. That means he had other clothing, so he wasn't wearing the clothing just for protection. So since it's not a psik reisha that he's having hana, that's why if he's only wearing it as a salesman, it's mutter. The Ran disagrees. He says that even if it's a psik reisha that he's having hana, that's not, let's say he has no other clothing, still will be allowed to wear it if his goal is to be a salesman, not to wear it. The Mefarshim explain that the machloikis of Ran and Tosfos is what is the Isser of Shatness. The Ran holds that the Isser of Shatness is Hano, to have Hano. And here he doesn't intend to have Hano, and that's why it's Mutter. Tosfos, on the other hand, holds that the Isser of Shatness is wearing. And since he's not wearing anything else, this is considered Levisha. And Levisha of Shatness, even if he doesn't have intent, but he's actually wearing it, is awesome.